It's time for the Film Crickets with Jay Fortier and Chris Martineau. On this week's episode, I'll be filling in for Chris, and we'll be joined again by Melanie Howerton, and Jay, Melanie, and I will be reviewing the 1986 American horror film Trick or Treat, also known as Ragman and Death at 33 RPM. Does it stand the test of time? Let's find out. Your Film Crickets are on now.
All right. Hey, friends. My name is Jay Fortier. I'm along with my good friend, Steve Lavoie.
What's going on, man?
Hi. How you doing, man?
Doing well. Doing well. Can't wait to talk about the movie. And I hope I said Melanie's last name correctly.
You did.
Did I? All right. Good. Good.
All right. Welcome, Melanie, once again.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah. This is a movie that all three of us have seen and enjoy. How well it holds up, we'll have to see, you know, for final judgment. But we can't watch this without, you know, picking on it a little bit, because, you know, if we don't see the problem, I don't know what to say.
whose thought was it to do the movie before we even begin?
Me and Jay were just talking about it. We're like, oh my God, remember Trick or Treat? And we're just talking about it. And I remember just because I had the soundtrack, I remember like every single word to every single song. And we were just kind of poking fun at it. I'm like, we should do it. And he's like, you should do it with me because no one wants to do it with me. And I'm like, I would love to do that movie.
Yeah, I had suggested it to a couple of guests that kind of metal type people, you know what I mean? And I figured they would embrace it just because of, you know, the hair metal stuff and growing up on. And it's like nothing on their end like showed any interest. And I never want to make people feel like they got to do it. You know, like, I don't want them to feel like they have to do it for because I'm suggesting it. It's like, no, pick whatever you want. I just, you know, just wondering if you wanted to do it. So I was like, fine. The way Melanie and I were talking about the movie, you know, like, it's like we get the same jokes or, you know, we see the same goofy shit. It's great.
Yeah.
Especially, you got to understand, there's a lot of people that probably have never heard of this. Now, you got to go back to 1986 for this movie. I was 14. To me, this was like speaking to me directly. I could not wait to see it. I had heard about it. I didn't see that it was in any theaters. Not that I could really control going to the theater. I would have to be driven. But I wasn't aware of it being in any local theaters. So I don't think it had a crazy wide release. And when it came to video, there was one video store that I had that I could walk to. And there was another one that was a little further down that I, you know, was driven to. And the one I could walk to, I was, you know, talking to the girls behind the counter and saying, hey, let me know if you're going to get Trick or Treat. And they still didn't know.
They gave you a candy.
And then finally, the one that I was further away, they ended up getting it. So I rented it like it was going out of style. It became my Halloween tradition for a while until, maybe till after I graduated high school or something. And then you move on. But it was a lot of fun. And I'm glad to finally be able to talk about it. So you
didn't see it in movies. That was your first time. So Melanie, what was your first time seeing this movie? When did you get introduced to it?
I don't remember the first time, but I know it was probably a VHS tape for sure. Probably rented it. I know I also copied it somehow because I remember always having it. So I always had it and I went out and got the soundtrack. And I remember my cousin went out and got the soundtrack. And it's funny because you just kind of forget about it. But I remember one of my friends, Keith, on Facebook had put the soundtrack up as a picture and was, do you guys remember this? And I'm like, oh my God, I love that movie. And I have that soundtrack too. So it's a special class of people that have seen it. And I'll talk about that more later. But I think if you see it, you kind of grow up in that area, you kind of like it.
That's pretty cool. Jay's going to know how I was introduced to it because Jay actually introduced me to the movie through that we did. We had a morning show back in college radio, and we used the Wake Up Sleepyhead Gene's line in the movie, Gene Simmons, when he's playing the DJ. And we use that Wake Up Sleepy, Wake Up Sleepy, that's what he says.
It's party time.
It's party time, yeah. So we use that in our morning show. So I'm like, where's that from? And he had to explain it because I'm like, big Kiss fan, and I had no clue where that was from. So that was back in the mid-90s, so that's pretty cool.
I had my daughter watch it last year because she had surgery, and we were watching movies like every night, and I was like, you haven't seen Trick or Treat, have you? And my mother has it on DVD, by the way. So I went, my mom lives with me, and I went downstairs. She has an apartment in my house, and went downstairs and got the DVD and brought it upstairs, and my daughter loves it. So she's kind of like mutually music familiar.
How old is your daughter?
Okay, so right now she's 18, but last year she was 17, so she watched it when she was 17.
So at 17, and at 17, did she like it?
Yes, she did, because she grew up with mom, who loves everything from the 80s and 90s, and has showed her music from everything, from Fleetwood Mac to Aerosmith to Motley Crue to Poison to everything you could possibly think of, and she likes every single part of every kind of music that I ever grew up loving, even from when my mom was playing, you know, Aerosmith and Fleetwood Mac and Black Sabbath and stuff when I was younger. And then I grew up loving all of that. And so now my daughter loves all the kind of music that I loved, plus all the kind of music that she loves. So it's, yeah, she liked it. She liked it right away.
Yeah. It's funny with mine, my daughter and my kids both, like, it's like, I'll say, you know, like whatever you want, but check this out. Meaning, like, be open to this as well. And it's great. My daughter, who is 17, that she'll say when we get into the car that is my wife's car, who has the Sirius, she goes, can you put 80s on 8, please?
That's me all the time.
And then if we switch over, we'll switch over to the Hair Nation. Or, you know, she'll ask for the local radio stations that have, like, you know, a mix of everything. But it's just pretty great.
Or, like, what is it, the vinyl classic, and there's this vinyl something, like all those kind of things from the past.
I mean, so I asked the age of your daughter, because when we talk about this show, kind of the whole base is, will it stand the test of time? So it's always interesting to see a younger person's reaction to it. So you know, I don't know. Yeah, I'm not gonna tell you yet. We're in the beginning of the show, but maybe that changed how I was feeling. I don't know. So we'll go through it. So that's pretty cool. That's Jay. Do you want to give the IMDb rundown? Usually Chris does that, but do you have that? Do you want to do that?
Sure.
I would do it, but my computer would probably freeze and things would come out of it and demons and.
All right. So we have the movie Trick or Treat, 1986. It's rated R, runtime 1 hour and 38 minutes. And it stars Mark Price as Eddie Weinbauer, who's the main person that's in the movie. Tony Fields.
He's Skippy.
Yeah, Skippy from Family Ties. Yeah. Tony Fields, Lisa Orgelini, and Doug Savant, who is definitely a famous guy, and Elaine Joyce, and I got to do at least two other famous people, Gene Simmons and Ozzy Osbourne, who have bit roles, and it's great. Oh, my God. I just learned something.
Are you going to talk about Kevin Yeager?
No, I'm going to talk about Alice Nunn.
Okay, because I have stuff on, that's not Roger, is it?
No, Alice.
Who's Alice?
Okay, she's the old woman that we're going to talk about later in the movie.
Oh, the one that was on, yes. Okay, I know you're talking.
Know any trivia about her? Because I saw her face.
I did not get her. No, she's the only one I don't have.
Okay, you ready?
Yep.
I just learned this. I took a look at her, and that is Large Marge.
Which one's that?
Are you serious? From Pee-wee's Big Adventure?
That is Large Marge from the lady who gets pulled out of the TV.
Yeah.
That's Large Marge from Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Way.
I saw the picture. I'm like, oh my God.
Well, she was a twisted, burning wreck when she was pulled out of the TV.
Well, we're gonna hold off on
that. Yeah, we're gonna go with that one. We're gonna go in that one after.
But the one sentence synopsis, I don't have my kid. I didn't. My kid's been, he hasn't been feeling well. It's not even one sentence. This is more than one sentence. So whoever did this did not get what's normally the thing for the IMDb. A bullied teenage boy is devastated after the death of his heavy metal idol, comma, Sammy Kerr, period. Okay, you'd think that's where it stops. No, but as Halloween night approaches, he discovers that he may be the only one who can stop Sammy from making a satanic comeback from beyond the grave. That's two sentence rundown, man. Man, it's liars. But I also want to point out, people were petrified of heavy metal, and this was the height of the satanic panic in the 80s, which... There's a giant, like, this podcast's all about it and everything. It's crazy.
Yeah.
People are just Geraldo Rivera did a freaking show on the devil. Like,
are you serious?
You know, like, in cults. Oh, yeah, there was, like, you know, how, like, they were thinking satanic cults killed people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, and there was zero evidence.
When we review this one, it's almost like you have to treat it like a timepiece. Wouldn't you agree with that? I mean, it's not just a Halloween film. It's kind of a timepiece. It's almost like they were
totally
doing a 50s doo-wop because today it wouldn't make sense if you didn't know the history of how it was back then, especially with all of the theories of the satanic music and everything else that metal was going through back in the mid-80s.
Well, we already talked about Eddie Weinbauer, and he's played by Skippy from Family Ties, Mark Price. And he's a diehard metal fan, and he loves this guy who's a fictional character named Sammy Kerr, who very much looks like a Tommy Lee.
Tommy Lee, for sure. He's wearing the clothes from Live Wire, and you can see a poster right there, Live Wire, Motley Crue, who is like my favorite band. But totally, you can see, it looks exactly like he walked off their poster with their clothes.
So I was going to ask you that, like, who did you think they were going after? I was thinking Blackie Lawless.
Did you think Black Sabbath?
No, Blackie Lawless from Wasp.
Okay. Wasp.
The lead singer Wasp.
And the reason why I say that is because Wasp was one of the big targets with the PMRC back at that time, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they were going after pretty much bands like Wasp.
I think they actually went after him to play Sammy Kerr as well. There was something happened with the Wasp thing. I remember reading something about that. It was related in some way. But the clothes, like, I grew up watching everything to do with Motley Crue and absolutely was loving them and had the posters hanging all over my room just like he did. And that outfit that he is wearing, it's right off the Live Wire album. 100%. Like, literally almost everything that they're wearing.
Good album, by the way.
Cool posters, by the way. Well, I was gonna,
oh, yeah.
Good album. Cool posters.
Dude, I was thinking of you both times when he ripped down the Kiss posters. I was like, oh, Steve's having a meltdown.
Yeah. In fact, the artist of Destroyer, just the guy who did the artwork, he did Destroyer and Love Gun, passed away. Like,
yeah, that was Love Gun, right? That he tore down?
No, Destroyer. He had Destroyer and then Lick It Up. Those are the two we had from Kiss. Of course, I'm going to... I can pick that out. It's like when we watched KRP, WKRP in Cincinnati. They always had that... Spirit of 76 Kiss poster in the background. You ever notched that?
No, it's been a long time since I've seen it. I love the theme song, though.
I was always like,
I remember that. It's so long ago.
Yeah. But if you have a Kiss poster in your movie or anything to do with Kiss, I'm definitely in on it. Yeah. But I was like, no, don't rip it. And it's funny. The other ones he tore down. But when he got to the Kiss one, he actually started ripping it. I'm like, oh, my God, what are you doing, man?
So you could tell, obviously, that it starts with showing how bullied he is, the Eddie Weinbauer, also nicknamed Ragman. He's bullied big time by all the, you know, the jocks in the school and stuff like this, especially this one kid. You know, like, it's not just bad enough that you get chocolate milk, like, dumped all over your shirt, but then... After you're taking a shower after gym, they take your clothes and then throw him basically outside the gym where the girls are playing volleyball.
And they run up and take a picture.
The girl takes a picture of him. My God. You know what? They captured this so well when that happened. She takes the picture. He sees the flash and collapses. Like, because he knows, he didn't turn around. He just knew that they took a photo of him, and he just gave up. Oh, of course it is.
When I was in college, I had that happen to me, and that was, I still remember it today. And I was in the shower.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding you. So I was in the shower.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. And not quite like that, but it was where I was dorming. I was in where, like, the main path where people would come into the dorm, and it was like a Friday night. I had to take a shower, and the next door neighbors took my towel. So the only thing I did have was, you know, those brown paper towels that you crank down. And so that's all I had. It was like toilet paper. It was like putting sandpaper around you. So that's all you heard was
the chafe.
All you heard was it was me pulling down as much roll of that brown stuff to wrap around. And then there was my towel and my keys on my doorknob of my room. And there's all these people checking in. What are you going to do? I was pissed. But I mean, so that does suck. So when I saw that part of the movie, a little PTSD came out of me. I'm like, I know what that's like, you know, and it's like, that was pretty damn embarrassing. Yeah. At least I did have that brown paper towel, at least. I mean, it could have been a little bit worse, but yeah.
Oh, he had nothing.
He had nothing, yeah.
Poor guy. You can see he's writing letters to his hero, Sammy Kerr. And
which, again, that time period where you're actually writing letters and not text messages.
Right,
or
no email. And the thing is, too, Sammy had gone to that school.
Yeah.
So, like, he graduated.
And it seemed like he was picked on as well. when he was there.
Right. So it's almost like, you know, of course I look up to him. You rose above it, became famous, and basically are chucking them the bird. How about that footage that they show? He's walking around doing his laundry. He's got his headphones on. Doesn't know that there's a news segment about Sammy on yeah. TV. And then he sees him and realizes that it's there. So he runs and turns it up. But how about the footage that they show about him not only like biting a head of a snake off, but ripping it like
Aussie,
in half.
They're doing Aussie. Yeah.
Yeah. But like, and then like, yeah. he's like, you know, smearing the blood all over himself. It's yeah. like, yeah. wow, they're really taking this to another level, aren't they?
I was just going
to
say, are. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. It was, and it's funny.
The Aussie and Kiss kind of right there.
Yeah. And speaking of which, so both Aussie and Gene Simmons are in the movie. And so I'm thinking about yeah. the time frame. And that was when Aussie was touring for The Ultimate Sin, and he had Metallica with him, and they were touring Master of Puppets. So that was around that same mm-hmm. time. Oh, wow. So what a tour that was. And then Kiss was touring the Asylum album right. at that time. So pretty cool tour. It's pretty cool time for music.
Did anybody else hear this? I've heard this every time that he said it. Gene Simmons, when he does that first, all right, you know, he just goes like, yeah, yeah. he says, this
all of a sudden he's David Lee Roth, yeah.
No, but yes. like, no, but he said, this is the Nukester, but
it's supposed to be the Nukester.
His name is Nuke,
right? Nuke, yeah.
Oh, well,
yeah,
really?
The Nukester,
oh,
the Nukester.
Oh, did he say Nukester?
Okay, the Nukester. Nuke in the
okay,
movie, yeah.
I never heard the K, so I was like, okay. Did they like forget to tell him what the name was? Like, so it's like, is he calling himself Noose?
Like I noose? Watched this movie 3 times and I did not hear that. I think I just heard Nukester. I don't know.
No, that makes sense. I didn't even put that together. That like if I had thought of that, then I would have been, oh, that's what he must have said. It's just like, yeah. I've always heard it that way. And I was like, wait, his name's Nuke.
Couple of things. First of all, with Gene Simmons, they actually wanted him for Sammy Kerr. Mm-hmm. And he didn't want that role. He wanted a lesser role and he wanted to play Nuke. He actually wanted that role. And a funny thing when you were talking about the TV thing where he's doing laundry, he's not really paying attention to what's going on the TV. If you look, and I had to look, I looked it up, and then I saw it the next time, where they're showing the news footage and whatever, you can clearly see the cameraman.
Like, oh, really?
Filming. Well, he's right in the TV screen. He's wearing a white T-shirt. You can see him the whole time. And the other thing with Ozzy, which I thought was kind of cool, is they didn't give him any script at all. It was all ad-lib. They said that they thought that he'd be pretty funny if they just let him do whatever he wanted to do. So every single thing that comes out of Ozzy's mouth is just something he made up, which was hysterical. And he gave them 45 minutes of footage. And of course, they couldn't use all of it. So they had to kind of pick little pieces. But 45 minutes of footage of just him saying crazy things, which is so funny. But
you could understand him, though. He was so understandable. Like, it was like, I actually understand what the hell he's saying. Like, I mean, if that was today, you would never understand what he was. It would
My
take 45 minutes to get like 30 seconds of something. Yeah. Yeah. No, that was pretty. He was pretty clear. I couldn't believe.
I want to drive my love shaft down your yeah. like tunnel or yeah. whatever. Yeah. I don't know what it was.
Yeah. But it was
something. Feel me. Feel yeah. me. It's got to be sexual.
This could turn someone into an absolute yeah. pervert.
But what, now you said the cameraman was visible. Did you? I wasn't looking for it this time, so I missed it this time. But did you see the boom mic?
Oh, for sure, it's red. Yes,
it's like yeah, it's a red boom mic. Right when he's I think talking to his mom about trick or treat, like, you know, handing out candy for yeah. trick or treating, right?
Oh, I didn't see yeah. that. Oh, that's interesting.
Which is crazy because it wasn't an expensive scene. It wasn't like it was like some car crash that they had a hard time doing or something that was bombed in the house and they had to. It was just this stupid couple lines of her telling him how to pass out Halloween candy. So why couldn't they just redo that?
He plays the record backwards. He gets the record, a brand new record from Gene Simmons. Gene Simmons is a local DJ. He knows Ragman or Eddie, and he knows he was such a diehard fan of Sammy Kerr. And
which he cares,
he's really
by the
depressed,
way.
So he goes.
Which you know, Gene Simmons yeah. cares. He's not a jerk. He's really a friend, and he really wants to. I'm going to call him Skippy. He wants him to move ahead and you know, kind of do well. You know, so he's kind of like a mentor. He goes to him as a friend, but as a mentor.
Right.
And he can see how much he's hurting and he wants to try to make him feel better about it. At first, he keeps trying to say how he's, you know, he did this to himself and all that. But then he sees that he is really hurting. And so he does something really nice for him.
Yeah, it gives them the brand new album, which is like never even heard before. The only copy.
Yeah. And one of a kind album that he plays backwards so we can scratch it all up.
Right.
One of a kind album there.
Yeah. So he plays it backwards and he starts communicating with the dead artist. And he learns that he can basically start setting up the bullies. Different things where he gets them back and like, and they get humiliated and almost hurt and killed. Or, you know what I mean? Like those type of things. And we can get it all into it. But eventually Sammy Kerr comes back out into the world.
And I'm a horrible person for saying this again, Skippy. I'm horrible because he will forever be Skippy in my head, but I think he's such a good actor, to be honest with you. And I think his facial expressions just kill it throughout this entire movie. And I absolutely love how he acts. I mean, he nails it in every little part. He's really good. I couldn't ever imagine anybody else for this role. And with that in mind, Keanu Reeves was up for that role and he beat him in the role for this. Yeah. But he's so good.
But no one knew Keanu Reeves at that point, right? I mean, 86. I mean, Skippy obviously already had a name.
You're right. And also, because I think he went on to do Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure after that. So, yeah. But you know, also too, the looks, like Skippy just has that look to him that looks like this is who he is. You know what I mean? I'm horrible at Skippy. What the hell is his name again?
No, it's okay.
Eddie.
And I love him.
Eddie,
I don't know why.
Movie, right? Is it Eddie?
Yeah, it's Eddie. Eddie Weinbauer.
All right, so how many of you did you guys take Ragman and say it backwards, like try to spell it backwards? I'm like, all right, there's got to be a hidden message to this name. And of course, it was nothing. But I was like, when he had the Ragman and he had the bumper sticker on the car that said Ragman.
Yeah, I don't know why he is actually a license plate, but I don't know why he picked that name. It was kind of weird, but they did. Sammy Kerr was saying it backwards, and it sounded really strange on the speaker.
Yeah, but I was thinking more like it was like Red Rum or something, you know. So I'm like, am I missing the message here? You know,
Red Rum murder.
No, I thought about that too. I didn't understand why he would pick that name out of the blue and like how he came up with that name. I don't know.
So yeah, he's got a friend named Roger. He's trying to like convince him that it's actually happening too. He's like, check it out. He spoke to me, and he's just sitting there going, you know, it's. I mean, it's kind of interesting. There's some, not quite as good as his old stuff. What was it? Do you know the names of the albums?
Fire or something. Yeah.
Roger's a nerd, but Roger is, he is just a cool, he's a cool guy. Like, you can tell he doesn't date or anything, but in high school, what does he do? He looks up the cheerleader's dress while she's putting a sign up. No one even noticing. He's just standing there watching her put the sign up, really watching. But he's just like this slick Rick, you know? He's a nerd, but he's pretty funny. He definitely, he's a funny, and he's cool. He's one of those, like, he's okay with who he is. He's just cool in his clothes, where I don't know if Eddie is.
But Jesus Christ. Being that close, like, you know, you're like really inches away from this girl while she's on a ladder and you're like staring right up at her. And it's one of those things that you go, wow, like you're that ballsy, like, and nobody's calling you out on it. He's not
like really drawing attention to it. He's not like pointing or anything, or he's not like when Eddie walks by, he doesn't tap him on the shoulder and go, hey, look, hold on, look, check this out. He's not even like that. He's just cool.
Either that, or it's just what a blip he is on the radar screen that nobody notices him, even when he's doing something so fucking bad, like staring up a girl's skirt.
Well, you know what's funny with him is when he's like, why didn't you just go down to the Chinese food place, whatever it was called, down the street and get a bunch of fortune cookies and plan out the rest of your week?
Right. Because he was listening to the backwards message.
Yeah. He's like, you just fell for the stupidest thing. But people are going to go just like you. Eddie Weinbauer is going to go down and play their records backwards and fuck up their records. And then they're going to have to go out and buy new records because they scratched them all up. He's like, you're falling for the biggest gimmick in the world. Roger, I think he was such a good actor. And the funny thing about that is he never has acted in anything else ever. Wow. Ever. Wow. That was the only thing that he ever acted in. And because the only reason why he had that part was because he was a producer's friend. And the producer got him a few lines in that movie, but I think he did so good in it. But what he actually did is he went on to writing, and he actually wrote for The X-Files, Final Destination 1 and 3, Willard, Black Christmas, and he was, like I said, like such a good writer, but he had no experience at all before he did this movie. And they just kind of threw him a few lines and then he went out to be a writer. But he did such a good job. I mean, right. Later on when they're like, when Sammy Kerr comes to him and he's like, I have all your records. And Sammy's like, shut up.
I'll tell you, my favorite part of the movie has got to be, and it's kind of, it takes away from the horror end of it, but I just laugh my ass off, is when he grabs Large Marge. She's on TV, mm-hmm. and she's talking about basically how evil these people are. And so then he rips her out of the TV. And when he rips her out of the TV, she looks like she looks like a twisted burning wreck. She's just a burnt crispy critter. And he throws her onto Roger's living room floor. So you see him when Eddie calls him later. He has like the dirt devil, no pun intended, and he's like vacuuming. He's vacuuming the rug like around this dead corpse. Like, shit, I gotta clean this up before my parents get home. What are they gonna think? There's a dead, burned, twisted person. In
like, it's no big deal.
That came through the TV. That I laughed so hard at that.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's the funniest part. It is. I love that.
Melanie had pointed out that it looks like a hornet's nest.
It looks like a dried up hornet's nest that he just pulled down and sprinkled all over the floor and he's got to vacuum it up.
Now, what I like is the fact that happened like earlier in the day and they do not reference that at all. Like, meaning like so-and-so was on TV today and disappeared. Because she's on a news program. Yeah. Right?
She just got whipped out of nowhere.
So she was talking to somebody in a studio.
Yeah.
And then he pulls her out of the TV from the news station, and not one person is putting out like a JPB trying to figure out what the hell happened.
I love that part.
Because here's the thing. When he had already killed Ozzy, who's also an anti-metal preacher, by reaching the TV and pushing it aside. And then he goes, ah! And he's like, oh, he had a brain hemorrage. Well, I did not hear any explanation on how this woman disappeared from the news studio. I loved it. It's like, they should have said something. It's like, I don't know. I can't explain it. I was talking to her.
And got vacuumed up like a dried up hornet's nest.
No. But like the news lady, like I was talking to her and she just... She got sucked into the camera. It was unreal. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
To me, it's kind of like, all right, you watch that, and now that removes it from a film like Halloween or something like that. Now, there is stupid stuff in Halloween also, but not to that point. I think it was a little bit too... So to me now, it's like, all right, it's not a competitor to Friday the 13th or something like that. It's now its own kind of movie.
No.
And you know, with comedy like that.
Sure.
It's a comedy horror, yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's not a moment, not one moment where I feel tense.
No.
Like a horror. If I watch Halloween by myself, I start to get nervous. Like there's, I do. I love it too. But it's the music, favorite. It's the vibe, it's the atmosphere. Yeah. It can really get to you. And that's by design. This is not creepy.
And just so you guys know, I watch Halloween like 47,000 times a year.
I believe you.
It's always in the background somewhere. And I'm like, to the kids, what am I watching? They're like, Halloween. If I'm painting, if I'm doing something, it's in the background. I just all the time have it in the background.
It's your comfort food.
But yeah, this is a comedy. But did you notice, didn't it make you kind of feel Halloweenish when they're looking at the houses outside and even like his house, especially Eddie Bound. What is his name?
Eddie
Weinbauer.
Because I keep wanting to say Skippy, I'm horrible. But his whole entire house on the inside looked exactly like Jamie Lee Curtis's house. Mm. And the houses in the neighborhood and the cars and everything just had that. And even the little town, just a Halloween feeling to me. Not the movie, but the setting.
I think
where it was.
When I watch this movie, I'm thinking Halloween 3. And the reason is because he had to try and stop that commercial. So it was very similar in that way. Where he
used Halloween 3,
well, you know, because he had to stop that album from playing. That was the only way he was going to stop. So it was very similar to Halloween 3, where he has to stop the commercial and he can't do it. But it just, to me, that it reminded me of Halloween 3.
Mm, I get you there. I got to say, for a movie that doesn't have, like, you know, the high budget, like, you know, I mean, compared to others, there's pretty good special effects, like, you know, like the lightning. How about when
he disappears?
Yes, when yes. he disappears, that was really
And
good.
I told my husband, I'm like, you couldn't do that any different if you wanted to nowadays. You do it the same exact way. When he's hitting that, what do you call it, the circuit breaker thing?
Breaker box.
In high school
yeah.
or whatever. Yeah, you couldn't really do that any other way. They did such a good job, I really do think so. And the special effects makeup, too. The special effects makeup, by the way, and I don't know if I talked about this at all, but that Kevin, I don't know if I'm saying this right, Kevin Yeager, okay. He was the, if you look at the band that came on, the Kickers, he was the lead guitarist, the singer there. He's actually a huge special effects artist. And he actually did that movie, and he did Nightmare on Elm Street versus the whole burn thing going on there. He's actually the creator of the Chucky doll, the whole designer of the Chucky doll. Oh, Tales of the Crypt. He did Tales of the Crypt as well.
Is he the one that said, how y'all doing?
Yeah, and he's the one that got, the first one that got killed when he... Okay. Now, trying to figure out what's wrong with the speaker. And
now we have
that.
To talk about this. Roger.
Huge special effects artist.
That's awesome. Sammy meets Roger, comes out of his thing, because he told Eddie that he was going to destroy the tape. He had a tape that, and he said, I got it. I destroyed it, But he was
but Eddie.
You know, he doesn't believe it, right?
But Eddie never said, don't play it. If you go back.
That's true. He didn't say don't play it.
He said, you have to destroy it. And then he said, well, what is it? Yeah. And remember, he said, he's like, it's this. I forget what he says, but I forget how he describes it, but he never tells them,
but
don't play it.
True.
And but he actually makes it sound interesting. Like, it's pretty amazing.
Amazing. I think that's what he said.
But the thing is, though, doesn't matter. He didn't believe him.
Yeah, that's true.
He didn't believe him that he was speaking to him through the backward messaging or anything like that. So no matter what, he wasn't going to buy in that this is a real thing.
Right. He was going to do it anyway, regardless of, even if you told him, don't do it, you're going to get killed. He'd be like, whatever, I'm doing it anyway.
So Sammy Kerr pops out of Roger's stereo, and that's, you know, and then he tells him, play the tape for me tonight at the dance.
Because
the kids are, he was supposed to, or die. The kids were actually supposed to have a Sammy Kerr concert, but he ended up dying, like the hotel fire.
No, actually, Jay, they canceled it.
Oh, but either way, regardless, he was supposed to play there.
They banned him, and they were going to play it, but it got canceled.
Right. But either way, so even if he didn't die, they were going to cancel him. But I'm saying he still was sort of scheduled to play there. This other band, the Kickers, by the way, anybody, I was like, I know that voice, that guy, he looks so damn familiar. The guy who is this, you know, I know you guys are in my Spanish class are really tired of listening to me. That guy was from American Graffiti. He was from The Untouchables.
Yeah, I knew he was in some stuff, but I just couldn't remember what it was.
He introduces the new band. The band, like, is the Kickers, which is a really terrible name for a band.
But, you know, I think that's also playing on the 80s. They wanted some weird names, you know.
Right, like, that's a lot safer than Sammy Kerr. Sammy pops out of the speaker because Roger had played the tape, and he grabs the lead singer / guitarist guy, kills him, but like it bursts like into flames because it's like some sort of a like electrical thing that he's powered by. The funniest thing is, he looks at the audience, he grabs a guitar, they recognize it looks somebody like Sammy Kerr, and he starts doing a thing with his wrist that's like a drum beat, you know, like, and the drummer just starts drumming along, and the rest of the band joins in. They don't care that they just lost their lead singer like 5 seconds
ago. Oh, my God. He just got napped into Never Never Land. Where did he go?
It's like, they don't even question it. It's like, I know what he's doing. All right. Yeah. Oh, he's doing that song, Trick or Treat.
Bands are just so bad.
How did they even know what he was going to play? How did they know the music?
Well, because like it's a famous song, you know. Like
still, like I kept thinking, how do they know what they're playing?
I don't know. That's just my guess. It's like, you know, if like, you know, somebody from Motley Crue, you know, like the lead singer showed up and started singing.
That was a great part though, because you get to hear a lot of that song. And Chris, did you have something to say?
No, that's Steve.
Oh, Steve! My God, I'm horrible. I know it's Steve.
That's all right.
I know it's Steve. I'm drinking some wine. Okay,
you know
give
what?
Me a break.
Yeah, you know, he's got the same. He's playing the Chris role though.
I am.
Okay, Steve, did you have something to say? About
I guess
that
I'm doing. Yeah, I mean, it's. I guess most bands wouldn't care if they lost their lead singer. You know, it's always like the lead singer that causes the problem for the band. So they're probably like, we hated him anyway. See you later. You know, like, but it was just that was what made the movie just like I said, separate it from from a Halloween or a Friday 13th part movie. It's a cool movie, but it's just it doesn't. You're laughing more than you're scared. You know, it's just, you're like, what the hell? Like, it's just, it's funny, you know, and I guess, you know, when you think of metal seems dark on the surface, But metal is actually funny. Like, a lot of metal guys are funny guys. Ozzy Osbourne is a jokester. He's a funny guy.
Oh, he is.
You know, I mean, a lot of those
guys. Simmons. I used to watch the Gene Simmons show.
Yeah,
he is too. Gene Simmons is amazing.
He's funny, a smart guy.
Did you used to watch the Gene Simmons show? I know you like Kiss. Did you used to watch the Gene Simmons?
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, I did Family Jewels. And yeah. But yeah. I mean, he's a smart guy. He's a funny guy. I think of guys like, not really metal, but AC/DC Brian Johnson. The guy is always cracking jokes. So as they come out, as again, everyone thinks they're really dark people, they're actually funny people. And so that's what made it a cool... Yeah. Metal movie, because there was a lot of stupid, funny stuff. I mean, look at Spinal Tap. That's a funny movie, right?
Yeah, early too. Early 80s.
Did you guys know any history about Tony Fields, the one who played Sammy Kerr?
No, go ahead.
So he grew up doing gymnastics, and that's why you see him jumping up and swirling around like a madman up on that stage. I mean, he actually did like a flip. But he actually, I thought it was the coolest thing, because when I was little bitsy, I used to watch the Solid Gold Dancers, and that's what he was, a Solid Gold Dancer. And he also did videos for Michael Jackson, Queen, and Lionel Richie. So, I mean, he was really out there, and he was actually pretty amazing. But one thing that I thought was really nice, and he is a just amazing person, when he was too sick, because when he actually died in 95, he was really sick and he was unable to dance anymore, and that was like his life. He actually went back to his high school that he grew up at, and he mentored students, and they actually have a scholarship in his name, and I thought that was pretty cool.
I think, awesome. You know, you were just mentioning Lionel Richie. I think the Hello video is way more creepier and scarier than Trick or Treat. That, you know, that is.
I don't remember that video.
Creepiest video, like, hello, he comes out of nowhere. Is it me you're looking for? It scares the crap out of you. Like, what are you, a stalker? Like, come on. One thing, too, so a lot of times when they come out with any type of movie, there's a good soundtrack, but usually it's different artists on the soundtrack. So this one was kind of unique where they went with one band. They didn't sit there and say, okay, we'll put AC/DC, we'll put an Ozzy song or a Kiss song since you're in the movie. Nothing like that. Yeah. They actually went with one band.
Which is weird that they didn't do that, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And the band they went with was not, I wouldn't say a well-known band. I mean, they were known, I think their first album came out, 83, Jay? Would you say?
Yeah.
Yep. Let's say what you will. I think that was 83.
But I never heard of them before I bought the soundtrack. I bought the soundtrack because I loved it, but I didn't know who they were before that.
And the lead singer now is actually in a bigger band as far as famous.
You know what? That's where the Wasp thing comes along. One of those people that is in Fastway has something to do with Wasp or something. I remember reading something about that. They're connected.
But the lead singer for Fastway, I want to say his name's Dave King.
It is, yep.
He sings for a band called Flogging Molly. That's a big band now. Like
they're like the Dropkick
Bigger than
Murphys,
they ever was.
Yeah,
like the Irish... punkish band. Not really my style. It's kind of like weird because if you hear him sing, it doesn't sound anything like him.
If you look at him, you would like he looks totally different. Obviously, he's older. You would never know that he was the singer of Fastway.
But you know what? Like when I was listening to the song for the third time that I watched it recently, honestly, I could hear Quiet Riot in there. And I don't know if it's the singer's voice or the music or something, but maybe it was the singer's voice, but I don't know. It reminded me of Quiet Riot somehow.
Yeah. I mean, he's got a high gravel, I would say. That would be my guess, like, you know, someone would hear that.
It was rock without being total hairband rock. So I think that's where the Quiet Riot probably comes in, where that was the early to mid-80s rock sound. And then, obviously, the hairband followed quickly after that. But that was more, it was more just early 80s rock.
Yeah, it wasn't
rock.
Poison or anything.
Right,
yeah.
Yep. Yeah, no, a very good soundtrack.
A great soundtrack.
Yeah, a very, very good soundtrack.
And can we rewind a little bit and talk about how they threw weights inside of Weinberg's backpack there?
Weinbauer. Skippy Weinberger.
Yes, I'm sorry.
We're going to call him Skippy Weinberger.
But yes, okay, they're just going to shove him in the pool with weights, like all 80s movies that do things that would literally kill somebody. Like in Goonies, when the guy was driving down the street with a convertible and he just smashes the guy on the bike and he goes down the cliff. Or in Karate Kid, or, I mean, any of these things that the people would do would just kill somebody. And I think, like, what would they do if this guy drowned in there? And you know, and the police came, would they just be like,
he was weird,
I don't like him?
Oh, you know what? I have a great thing.
He liked metal.
I have a great thing about that. I was thinking about it at the end. Now, the way it all works out is that Sammy, when he starts playing in front of the audience, starts killing people at the end of the song with his electrical lightning bolt stuff, you know, that he can manifest. And the funniest thing is, first off, he kills somebody in the front row. People just like go, cool, there's an opening. And
exactly.
They run to the front. Like, it's that. Like, oh, this, they don't question how this guy is no longer in front of them.
Yeah, like, they're like, okay, all good, right, I can get closer to the stage. Get all the way.
And after like the third person that gets killed, they're like, oh, people are actually dying here. Let's run. And that clown, there's a clown that's like stops and like stares at the thing and goes, ooh, I better get out of here.
He's like, where should I go?
Right? But here's the thing. You know, they're having a mass murder at the dance. And here's the other part. The cops show up, and Eddie and the girl that is nice enough to care about him after, you know, like all the stuff he's been through, they're walking out, and one of the jocks goes, there he is, this Eddie Weinbauer. He's behind all this. And it's like, he didn't kill anybody. But they're just blaming him because, you know, he was whatever. He's freaky, and he likes metal. And
that makes no sense because he had nothing to do with it. He showed up to try to save people. What are you talking about?
Right. But then they're like, oh, they're driving around. They got an APB on the guy. So they pull over and they're like, I just saw the two suspects and one big son of a bitch or whatever, you know? Okay. So they eventually go to the radio station and destroy the tape. He also basically runs off the he's driving his car, and he lures him into the car by turning on the radio and insulting him and stuff, right? And he gets him in there, exactly. And he drives the convertible over the edge into the into the
bay or whatever it is.
The water. And that basically kills him because all the tapes are gone of this thing or all the albums or whatever. And they end up in the water. So they got rid of the spirit that's been killing people. But still, when it's all over, Eddie is still wanted. Like, they don't do anything about that.
Yeah.
Like, because you can't say, hey, cops, it was really the spirit of Sammy Kerr that came back and was killing people. Like, you know what I mean? I don't care. It's like, because they still wanted to see him. So it's just funny. Then he turns on the radio station after the girl had like destroyed half the radio station. He turns on the mic and goes, wake up, sleepyheads. It's party time.
And my husband looks at her destroying that and goes, that probably costs more than the whole movie cost to make. I know, what's probably not real.
You know, it's funny though, when you go to a concert though, and you look around and all these people know the lyrics to some of these songs, and you go to like a metal concert and you go, wow. Especially when I used to go to these and I'd see these beautiful girls singing back, and I'm like, where are these girls? All the girls I know are into hip hop and dance, and you know, so it's funny when they were at the dance. And the girl, I think her name was Leslie. Is that her name? The one that he was...
Leslie, yeah.
Yeah, Leslie. Yeah. And she looks and she goes, what are you doing? And he was going to put the tape inside. She goes, Judas Priest? You know, like, I mean, I'm going, who are these girls that are going to say, hey, what are you putting in, Judas Priest? You know, like that's the first thing she thinks of. Like, it's just kind of funny. It was just one of those metal moments.
There is one thing about the dance that super has always bothered me from the very beginning. And I always notice it. Leslie, she's going to this dance at a high school. So she's dressed in this genie outfit. And you can tell she's really decked herself out. She's got this whole costume she probably paid a lot of money for. Got her hair up in this little thing. She's got gold bracelets going down her arm. She's all decked out. Now she's probably at home, which is probably 5 minutes down the street, getting all ready to go to this dance. So when she goes to this dance, it's the beginning of the dance because the kickers have not even come on yet. The principal or whatever the teacher is has not even introduced, hey, welcome to the Halloween dance, blah, blah, blah. So it's the very beginning. Let me ask you why she has brought a change of clothes with her, and she has to go into the locker room, and she takes a shower or whatever she's doing, and she's brushing her hair out, and she's changing. Why is she in there, first of all? She got ready, probably decked herself out, took forever to get ready. Being a girl, let me tell you that she probably took at least an hour to get ready, at least. She goes to this dance, and it's the beginning of the dance, and as soon as the band comes on, she's in the locker room, taking off all of her clothes. Maybe so they can have some sort of a bra shot, I don't know. And brushing out her hair, and then, you know, totally changing into some bag of clothes that she brought with her from home when her house is 5 minutes down the street. You, as a girl, you do not go to a dance and bring a change of clothes and then leave the dance as soon as it starts and go into the locker room and change into some freaking clothes when you could have went home and went to bed and changed when he got home. The whole thing, I'm like, why the hell is she in there? This makes no sense whatsoever.
Well, yeah, no, you're right.
Were you surprised? And you brought up the whole locker room, and I think that's probably what it was, is just an excuse just to see, because obviously you've got a horror movie, and what's a horror movie without some sort of nudity? But we had that in the car.
We had a lot of that.
When she was getting undressed by the dean.
Well, not her,
say.
Though.
The other girl.
Not her,
yeah,
though,
the other girl there. Yeah.
Jeannie.
I mean, that was like, oh my God, I couldn't believe that they went that far with that scene. But obviously they had to throw that in because it's kind of a metal thing and it's definitely a horror
thing. That was
a
gratuitous thing. Yeah,
but in every horror movie, and you guys have probably seen it in a billion horror movies if you're like a horror movie fan like me, why does the guy obviously have to take a mile walk down somewhere
to
else
pee?
To go pee? Obviously she's seen his shit before and they're doing something, but you know, he could get right outside and just go to the bathroom right there. He can, not like a girl, he can do something a lot easier. He could be right in front of the car. Why does he have to go on a mile long walk? Why do guys do that in horror movies?
I don't know.
Make any sense.
Yeah.
It's the same as the, why does she run upstairs when she could be running out the front door?
Yeah.
Like in Scream.
I mean, he could have got right out of the car and did what he had to do and get back
right,
in the car.
Right, no, I thought of the same thing. It's like I have to go on a hike to go pee.
Well, I didn't know what he was talking about because he said, I have to leave now or something. He said something weird and I'm like, that didn't make sense.
He goes, I gotta go.
Yeah, I gotta go. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, he's gotta go somewhere. Maybe he's gotta go to work or something. I didn't realize. So I'm like, what the hell, he's gotta go? He's over, what? He didn't go, what? You know, it didn't make any sense, but now I understand. Yeah, that's weird. I don't, he's there by himself. Yeah, yeah. That was kind of
freaky.
But
that was a long walk. I guess they wanted to, you know, well, they needed to.
They needed time.
They needed time to get attacked. Yeah.
Yeah, to have that
scene
unfold.
And again, why is she, these people think that heavy metal is disgusting, so why is she listening to it? And second of all, when this is the hugest thing I realized too, when they were all at the dance, the whole time this kid is getting made fun of and getting beat up and everything because he likes metal. He doesn't fit in. That school doesn't like metal. They're all preppy, whatever. And then as soon as the dance comes on and Sammy Kerr is up there and he's pounding on his leg with his little, you know, chains and everything.
They're all going nuts.
Everybody's like, oh my God, he's better than the real Sammy Kerr. And everyone like goes crazy and they all love him. I'm like, oh, so now you like metal. It's like
well, it's like they're closeted. They're closeted metal people. They can't admit to it.
Yeah.
Once it comes out,
it
takes them over. I would say, what do you think? We covered most of it? Do some final judgment here?
Sure.
All right.
It's time now for final judgment. Are you ready to rubber stamp this bitch? Here's the final judgment.
So, all right, I guess I'll start. It does not hold up in the sense of, I think that there's just too much stuff that is captured in 1986. I love it. It's great, but not many people are going to relate to playing a record backwards, metal. They might for nostalgia reasons, but I'm talking about, does it really, like, you know, is it something that, could you make this movie today? I don't know. I mean, doesn't mean I don't like it. It's fun. I can't say. I also wouldn't say don't go. I wouldn't say don't go see it. You should check it out if you can, you know, if you could sort of understand or somewhat like it. But I just don't think it. You know, on the overall, does it hold up? No.
All right. So what I would say, because I was thinking about this for a while, part of me wants to say yes and part of me wants to say no. A bigger part of me wanted to say no before I found out that your daughter liked it. So maybe I'm like, oh, maybe. I have a hard time going into like a younger person's mind saying, because I obviously remember those days and I don't know what they know. So I would say that in the aspect of what like what Jay said. So when you talk about the metal, maybe not so much. When you talk about a jean jacket with rock and roll pins, maybe not so much. When you talk about being a faithful radio listener, maybe not so much. But when you talk about being a loner in school, not fitting in, being bullied, that has not gone away. So in that aspect, that's definitely real. But when you talk about backward masking, which is spinning the record backwards, no way. No one's going to know what that is. And that was like, it was like that meets the Ouija board. Is the Ouija board still kind of a thing? I don't know. So
yeah, actually it is. I have teenage girls. Yeah, the Ouija board is still
Do you have the app? It's like the Ouija board on the iPhone. But no, I mean, I don't know if this, if it's not true, they're going to get one. But yeah, you know, so in some aspects, I can't see it holding up, and but in other aspects, when you break down the movie, like what did he want? He wanted everyone to kind of, at first, he wanted everyone to pay for what was being done to him. And he thought that was cool until it affected people that he loved, like that girl that he liked, his mother. You know, so he's like, no, don't attack them. Don't get them. And he's like, no, we get everyone. So then he realized that maybe I shouldn't think that way. It changed his mind. So I think that we all have these moments in life where we're like, you know, screw everyone. Right. And so I think in that point, it relates. But in the actual point of the metal and maybe the horror and all of that, I would say it doesn't. So I'm going to go 50-50.
Okay, so with me, I absolutely love the movie. I think once you love it, you always love it. There is actually a big fan base from this movie that people are diehard Sammy Kerr and Trick or Treat fans. And I think that the actors are amazing in it. They did a really good job. The special effects, I think, are great. The soundtrack is amazing. Love it. And like I said, my 17-year-old daughter at the time loved it too. But I think it's also because she grew up with me. So she has that little, you know, niche type of thing already. So, but I also think in a way where we were, all of us kind of grew up in the, I'm 48, so we grew up in the same time zone of, you know, having the same posters on the wall that he had and listening to the same music and trying to fit in, which again doesn't change. I think you had to kind of be in that special place to get it. Or you had to be having a parent or somebody else who understood or who kind of brought you into this kind of music is awesome. Because it's not just horror, but it's horror, comedy, and music. So you kind of have to kind of love all of it. So I think nowadays, it honestly only grossed about not even $7 million when it was actually out, when it was in our time to begin with. So it didn't really do that good when it was out. So I think if it came back out the way it is now, I don't think it would do good. So I don't think it stands the test of time as much as I love it to pieces. And I'm a huge fan of it. And I love Tony Fields for the work that he did and everybody that was in it. I think they did an amazing job, but I don't think, and I hate to say that, I just don't think that people would get it as much as the three of us and some other people that are kind of went through what we went through or lived that kind of life or had family members that brought them into that type of music. I just don't think that everybody would get it. And I just don't think it would hold up as much as I would like it to.
You're right. I mean, I look back to the band posters. Does anyone that's a teenager have music band posters like I did? I mean, I had my Kiss posters all over the wall. I mean, it was fun. You know, I had a cool Metallica picture in my bedroom and stuff. It was a lot of fun. And collecting guitar picks or pins for your jacket. I mean, how cool was a jean jacket with the patches, right? It was like, oh, I got to get this patch. Yeah, I got to get this jacket. So that aspect, that culture, I don't think that's around today at all.
And he had Hit Parader magazine.
Yeah.
Hit Parader magazine. I used to go out and get all those things like every week and take the posters out of them. And I had so many posters on my walls that I had to start hanging them from the ceiling connected to each other.
Yeah.
And it was just something special. And you could go out and get the cassette tape and before the CDs came out and you had all the lyrics on them. And I mean, then the CDs came out and did the same thing. But it was just something special about it that a lot of people don't get these days.
But you knew the album, too.
Nice.
You listened to the whole thing. It wasn't like today. most people can't even tell you the song they like. They might know the name of it. They don't know who it is. They don't really care, to be honest with you. It's not about the band. You know, especially one thing I mention all the time, country music is big now. One thing I hate about country music is that it's about one person. It's not about the band. Most of the time, the people they tour with are not the same musicians on the album. So it's like I always hate that about the country genre. So that's it. I think you're right. There's a lot that would not hold up to today, except for the true meaning of the story, which was the bullying and trying to fit in and the awkwardness of being at that age. And I think that has not changed. Like I said, I think it's worse in some ways.
The cyberbullying, that's a lot worse for sure.
It was a good show though. I thought it was good. Definitely a good movie. If you haven't seen the movie, go check it out. It's definitely worth it. I know sometimes you guys do movies, you're like, no, I wouldn't even check it out. But this one's definitely worth it. And if you don't own it, it's free on YouTube with no commercials, too, I don't think. Commercial free on YouTube.
I know, straight up.
If you don't have it, yeah. But yeah, definitely check it out and check out the sound.
Awesome. I loved it. I'll always love it.
Oh, no, yeah. Oh, I'm looking at it like as a timepiece and going, yeah, I don't know. Like
for
I can see a lot of people going, what?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like our old photos. If you see my old photos, it's like, holy crap, he looked like that. My long hair and everything. So,
oh my God, I remember one time somebody said to me, I had my hair all puffed out, and they were like, she looks like a lion. I remember in high school, and I was like,
it's all right. You're killing the ozone. Killing the ozone one can at a time.
Aquanet. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. That's it for the Film Crickets. Thank you guys for joining me today.
Yeah, thank you.
I appreciate that.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and well, I don't know what's happening next week. We'll figure it out, and I'll see you then. Take care, everybody. Bye. Film Crickets, chirping about movies.